Then verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Verse 6 as well, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. And then verses 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. May the Lord bless these verses to our hearts and to our minds. Again, Lord, we do thank you for your word. It's so full of advice and counsel, guidance, good direction. And of course, it fills us to overflowing with faith, hope, and love of God and our neighbor. Thank you for your word. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. My text focus is verse 10 in chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Here's a psalter of selection. One of the verses, one of the stanzas goes, go forth in his servants and service and strong in his might to conquer all evil and stand for the right. When we think the right thing, we do the right thing. we overcome wrong. I want to first point out, as others have, that these are marching orders. We have been enlisted in the Lord's army, right? Jesus is called the captain of our salvation. He's the captain. And each one of us is enlisted and has a position in the Lord's army. In fact, that's why I read through just chapters 5 and 6 the way I did. I could also have gone back to chapter 4, could have done that, and brought up some more stuff. But what's happening here in this latter half of this epistle is that Paul is, first of all, covering our relationships. All of them, our relationship with each other in the church. He talks about that in chapter four and in 5 somewhat. He speaks of our relationship, our interaction with the world, the unbelieving world in particular. And I didn't read through all those verses, but they're there in Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. He speaks to husbands and wives, the relationships relationship that husbands and wives have. He speaks of the relationship of parent and child. He speaks of the relationship of master and servant. In other words, he covers the gamut of all the relationships as Christians we are involved in and with, and has all kinds of instruction and admonitions to teach us. He has, if you read through chapter 4, for example, and also chapter 5 in your home, at home if you go home, he talks about keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. These are all admonitions. These are all counsels, if you will. Be ye angry and sin not. He's not saying avoid any kind of anger. He's saying when you're angry, do not sin. And, you know, that's very possible. The police are trained to do that, right? The police are not to lash out in anger and start clubbing people over the head and start shooting at them indiscriminately. They are to use the utmost caution and consideration. They are to use the appropriate force. So that's a really good thing. Someday I might preach just on that. Be ye angry and sin not, because, you know, I think a lot of us have a problem with anger. We'll talk and touch upon that a little today. But that is, that's something we deal with all the time. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Be kind one to another. Let not things inconvenient, such as fornication or coarse jesting, be named among you. Reprove unfruitful works of darkness. Honor your father and mother. And it just goes on and on. The list goes on and on. Of all these admonitions, all these instructions that we as Christians are to have and to hold in the various relationships we find ourselves in. And so I want to talk about the command, actually, the charge that comes from Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, you know, after he goes through all these relations and the relationships, and after he gives all this counsel and admonishment and instruction, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you see, we have to deal with this, because this is like a focal point in the latter half of the epistle. It comes between all the instruction that he's just given concerning our relationships and how we are to act one towards another. And then before he comes to putting on the full armor of God, we have to deal with, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, you can read it in one of two ways. You can say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, by, you know, sort of adding to the scripture, by putting on the whole armor of God. Or you can read it in another way, which I think is the correct way, that finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on. See? So there's a difference if, depending on what which word you use there in understanding this verse, verse 10. If you think of it as being strong in the Lord and the power of might by putting on the armor of God, I think you might get a little misled. You can still understand it correctly, but I think it's a little off. It's finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of might by, not by, but and. And put on. Okay, and I'm going to try to get to why it's that way during the course of the message and the time that remains. So I want to first talk about our problem. Why we aren't strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I want to address that. I want to address it in two ways, that this is our main problem with this verse, with understanding it and applying it to our lives. It has to do with fear and pride. Those two human frailties, human weaknesses, fear and pride. And you can include in pride, or even fear, anger, arrogance, you know, all those little things. So I'm kind of making fear and pride a broad thing. People that are afraid oftentimes get angry or hostile or timid, or, you know, there's all kinds of reactions there. And proud, people that get arrogant, they also get angry, they get mad, they get, you know, ugly. Those are our weaknesses. And then I want to talk about, in the second place, his power. How important it is to focus on his power. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. His power, his might. And then finally, I want to come to our strength. So we have those three things: our weakness, weaknesses, his power, and our strength. And those three fit nicely into our text in verse 10 here. As I mentioned, there are these two problems we have with fear and with pride. The Word of God instructs us. Oftentimes it confronts us. It says, fear not. Remember God making his promises to Abraham, who was before Abraham. His name was Abram. What did he say when he sort of met Abram in the way? He said to Abram, later Abraham, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So we go all the way back then, and we are encouraged. God is encouraging his own covenant child, if you will, Father Abraham to us. He's encouraging him to fear not. Jesus, at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation, he says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, guess what? Fear not. Fear not. I am the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I'm with you. I won't leave you. Fear not. Now, young people, what are you afraid of? What are some of your fears? Now, you know better than I, and I don't want to list them all, but certainly you have a fear of relationship and relationships, right? There's fears that people won't like you, that you would be rejected by some people that you really don't want to be rejected by. You have these kind of fears, relationship fears. You have fears of being successful, of being profitable, of finding your path in life, your career, your dream job, your dream boat. Right? Fear of finding the right guy, the right gal. And to the point where you say in fear, anyone will do. I think some of us have made that mistake. Not here necessarily, but we know people that have made that mistake out of fear. They got in a relationship, involved in a relationship, and it didn't work out very well. Also, pride goes along with that, not listening to parents and counselors and stuff like that, but I'm talking about fear. What do you fear? There's all kinds of things that you fear. Young people have all kinds of fears. Older people have fears too. Fear of sickness. Fear of going to sleep and during the sleep have a heart attack or a stroke and not being able to get to the hospital in time to get that drug so that the damage is less. Have a fear of people we love dying. been praying for this young child lately, right? Who's been having seizures because of a virus infection, right? You think the parents and the grandparents and the rest of the family had fear? You bet they had fear. We're afraid of a lot of things, many things. You know your fears. If you're honest with yourself, you could probably name at least 25 and be not done. It'd be an incomplete list. So that's one of our weaknesses that gets in our way to understanding and applying this verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Fear. Fear gets in the way of our being strong and powerful and mighty. Of course, you see the problem. It's when we are in our own strength and our own might, fear envelops our life. And the same with pride. We have all kinds of things we're proud of and proud about. And certainly there is a right way to be proud. I'm proud to be a Christian. I'm proud of my children sometimes. Like you, right? Sometimes. I'm proud of my life that I've kept the faith. Not I, but the Lord. Proud in the Lord. But there are many more prideful moments that display my weakness. Remember Noah, all the blessing that Noah, that God gave Noah, all the support that he gave him. He saved his life and his family's life, lives. He saved all their lives. He rescued them from the judgment upon the world at that time. And what does Noah do? He goes out and gets drunk and naked. Sloppy drunk. That is careless. Not being fearful, right? It's being arrogant, being proud, being given so much and getting sloppy drunk. Then there's, of course, Judah. Now, if you read in Genesis, Judah, what does he do? Judah, who has the blessing of his father Jacob, that the scepter will never depart from Judah. Judah goes and takes in a prostitute. Not fear of God, is it? It's pride. How about David? David looks down and sees this woman. Guess you could say he was a little bit of a stalker when it came to Bathsheba, maybe, maybe not. But he looks down there, and he wants her. He desires her. He calls her up, and he has her with him. Afterwards, he plots the death of Uriah, her husband, and thinks to get away with this for a year. He did. Till Nathan the prophet came to him and exposed his arrogance and his pride and humbled him before the word. So there's all kinds of reasons. There's all kinds of people in the Bible that are God's people that expressed their pride. And in expressing their pride, they express what? Their weakness. How about those of you or those of us who are with our mouths, our tongues, so proud and arrogant and nasty? And we lash out like serpents with our tongues at people. Oh, look at the communications that people have online, even on Facebook, where they say not wholesome things to one another and about one another? What about all the gossip and the backbiting that you have done in the past on the phone or in a phone conversation or in some privacy with your own? All those words that are spoken that are nasty, not nice, arrogant words, hostile words, ugly words, not edifying. What's that? Pride. Weakness. You are weak when you do that. You're not strong. It's weak not to be nice, to let your anger and your hostility and your viciousness spill out like vomit over another. You are weak, not strong. What do you do about this? What should we do about this? Well, of course, first admit it, right? That my weaknesses, mainly my fears, anxieties, whatever you want to call them, and my pride, my arrogance, my nastiness, my hostility, my anger, angry outbursts, these are my weaknesses. See? And the Lord is addressing that throughout the Bible, to the very end of the Bible, but here in Ephesians as well. And he's saying, in answer to this, in response to your fears and anxieties, dear people, my children, my sons and my daughters, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not your own, but his. And so the emphasis is on his power and his might. Now, when you think of it this way. I have told you before that the devil is real. And also his host, the demons, the evil spirits, some people call them, are real. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two or more, certainly around Harrisville area and maybe even here in this place or certainly outside of this place. Now, I can't see them. You can't see them. But they can see us. What are you going to do about it? If there is a spiritual world out there, and the Bible says clearly there is, what are you going to do about it? You're like a helpless chick, little chick, before a hunting serpent. Helpless, totally helpless. You can't do a thing about it. Yeah, and you can put your foot over a snake and crush its head, but who's going to put his foot over Satan's head and crush it? There's only one, right? There's only one power that's able to do that. The same power that created everything. Remember, you can't create a grain of sand. You can't do anything. You can't create a grain of sand. With all the technologies and scientific advancements and all, human beings to this day, thousands and thousands and thousands of years of research and all that, cannot create a fly. Not the simplest of creatures can be created by anyone or all of us combined. And yet God created everything out of nothing with his word. Now that's power. Can you see the difference? There's nothing you can do, especially when it comes to spiritual things and truths and all that. But there is something he can do. And how about that person, that loved one? You know, I've been here for 17 plus years. Some of you know that. And we were just talking about this in prayer meeting this past week, how there have been a number of people when I first came here are not here now. And I'm not talking about some people that moved away and all that, but people that have, that aren't alive. They've gone to heaven, right? They're no longer with us. Number of them. You know who they are. If you had the power, you probably would have kept them around a little bit longer. Certainly would have healed them, wouldn't you? You would keep the people that are here now as long as you can, right? Because you love them. You care about them. You have no power, absolutely none whatsoever. But God has the power to rise from the grave. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, right? He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. He arose. That's power. And that power that raised Christ from the dead is living in you, if you believe. See, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the ticket. That's how we advance in our Christianity. People, you are relying too much on your fear and your pride. On yourself. You think you have a better way. Or the circumstances or others or whatever may be have overcome you and you lose your mind. You say you lose your cool. I say you lose your mind. Spiritually speaking, of course. His power, His might, it's Christ's power, Christ's might that we have to take on, that we have to go for. The United States has just recently launched an attack on Syria, and they had it was a successful mission as far as it went, with destroying some chemical factories that were very obnoxious and hurting and killing women and children, among others. I don't mean to sound critical. They were boasting of their precision and the success of the mission and their technological advancement with their missiles and the firing of those missiles. It's good stuff, you know, able to accomplish that. Where does the power of the United States lie? Where does it lie? It lies in their technological advancement. It lies in their army, their navy, their marines, their air force. It lies in their instruments of war. It lies in their generals and their strategies, and they study, go to school for this, and they learn war and strategies of war. In other words, it lies in all these things. And we say the United States is the strongest and the greatest nation on earth. It's powerful because it has all this technology and all this and this great army. But you see, that's not the same with the Lord. The Lord's power doesn't lie within the people that are his people in the church and in the churches, in the ministries, in the plans, and in the programs that the church sets up and thinks so highly of itself because it's accomplished something. No. The power of the Lord lies in himself, not in other things, not in his host or his army, but in himself. And so, in a word, in a way of speaking, colloquially, get with the program, get with the Lord. That's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians chapter 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power, the power of his might, not in something, some plans that you've made, some programs that you have, some of your own willpower, some of your own ups, whatever it may be. Be strong in the Lord. He is all powerful. And then you can put on the full armor of God. There are just three things I want to say, and then a fourth thing in conclusion, the next minute or two, real fast, because this is just so great. There's so much to say, but I don't have time to say it all. But I want to at least plant the seed. The first thing, in order to do this, in order to have his power, our power, we have to first believe in it. We have to believe that the Lord is powerful, that what he's talking about in the Word of God is real. It really did. These things did happen, and this Word is true. We have to believe that Christ really did rise from the grave, and if he did, we will also. We have to believe that. The second thing is that we have to believe that it's mine, that it's in me, that the Spirit, the power that raised Christ from the dead is alive and well in me, that it's operating me, that the Holy Spirit is with me. I'm not on my own. Remember what Spurgeon said, I'm invincible until the day that the Lord says I must go home. I am invincible because God is in me and with me. And then the third thing to do is to put on the armor. After you realize this, all this, and his power and his might, and you believe it's yours to have, that's how you put on the full armor of God. And there's two things to put on the full armor that are here mentioned. There's more than that. But the main thing is word and prayer. That's how you put on the full armor of God. Word and prayer. That's how you get the power, through the word and prayer. Now, some of us are going to say, well, I still have problems to this day. I still have these struggles. I still have this difficulty. I still have problems with my fears. I still have these anxieties. I still have these struggles. Well, what does the Lord tell us? What does Paul tell us? When Paul is begging, he says, I need this thorn to be removed from me. This testing is too much for me. Take it away from me, Lord. What did the Lord say? My strength is proven in your weakness. When you are weak, then I am strong. Focus your attention, dear people, whatever your trouble, whatever your problem, whatever your situation is, that when you are at the weakest point, God's strength appears. It does. It will. Take it home. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, bless us on our way. We ask you this because we need it. We need your grace. We need your help. Life is a challenge. And there are all kinds of things that are good. Our relationships, our families, our jobs, our things like that. But they're challenging. We need your help in every detail of our life. We need your grace. We need to rely upon your power, your strength, your might. Be with us all, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. We ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be ours. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's in closing sing hymn number 40. Let's rise up to sing this hymn, hymn 40.